Welcome to the Astrology University podcast, helping you find insight, inspiration, and meaning through the study of astrology. And now, on to the show. Well, hello, friends. Tony Howard here. And today I am joined by Mark Jones to talk about how to build your astrological toolkit, or rather, the benefits of using a simple toolkit, which is a subject near and dear to Mark's heart. Thanks for joining me today, Mark.
Oh, my pleasure, Tony. Always a pleasure.
So we started talking about this together because as students are learning astrology, you know, they get exposed to a wide variety of tools. One could say an overwhelming number of tools in the form of different techniques and such. And you like to teach your students to work with a simple, smaller toolkit. Can you just start out by telling us a little bit why you take that approach?
I mean, I think this problem of complexity in astrology that you mentioned, Tony, is a huge one. It becomes overwhelming for students, doesn't it? It even becomes that sometimes intermediate or early advanced students actually have more problems working out what they're going to talk to people about in a reading because of all the overwhelming amount of techniques they've been learning. We're talking about really what you're trying to achieve with your clients. And if you're a general practitioner like me, you're literally opening a reading with, "How can I help?" You have a specific design really around effective interface with that person. So the elegance of a simple toolkit is that you have prepped and you feel clean and good about your simple toolkit. Then that can be adapted to the questions people ask you. Because you want to be asking the question, if you're like me, "How can I help today?" with a genuine open mind. You don't want to be asking the question, "How can I help today?" but please skew it heavily towards all the stuff I prepared before you arrive. Now, it might be different if you have a specialization like astrolocality, medical material, but even within that specialization, you have to think about the user experience, if you like, of the reading. And for that, clean preparation beforehand of the core technical areas, you feel it's your duty presenting as an astrolocality or medical practitioner that you need to have covered. But you still want to dialogue with the person about how that data emerges in the reading. And for that dialogue to be natural, for that dialogue to be authentic and actual back and forth, you need to be comfortable with the territory you've covered. And for those who work in specialist areas where you could go, "Okay, a certain kind of question leads me down a certain road, I would need prep time for it." If that person hasn't emailed you beforehand, I would say, feel comfortable just pausing the session to have a look. Or saying, "Well, we could speak about that again. We could have a second reading because that's an enormously complicated subject that I want to prep for to answer that question." The thing I'm trying to model is that we're to a certain extent in charge, and we're in charge in order to serve the other, in order to serve the person having the reading. And our professionalism in being in charge would see us have this elegant preparation so that we're not, again, another thing that students face is hours of preparation. I've worked with people before starting to do readings who are literally preparing each reading for 8 hours. And how can you do a reading then? How can you ever go from semi-professional to professional? If you had multiple readings a day, which I might frequently have, there's just no way you could do them. There wouldn't be enough hours in the day. Frequently, what's masquerading there is a kind of insecurity about the complexity problem in astrology. And there is no answer to that complexity problem for me. You don't need to answering it by reading every book or knowing everything. You need to answer it by making a conscious choice about your chosen areas of interest, expertise, the things that you found are effective in multiple chart readings. And I would make a distinction here, Tony, between areas of specialist interest, areas I might, you know, my wife's chart, my child's chart, my chart. I might look up some rare technique. I might look at it just out of a kind of healthy narcissism. We're hoping healthy narcissism. But that's not a proven technique for me in terms of usefulness, in terms of turnover. People coming, you have set period of time with them, high investment time. They have real questions about their lives, real things they need to share. You want to be going to reliable, proven techniques that you've road tested in multiple domains.
Thanks, Mark. That's great. Can you tell folks a little bit about what you mean by simple toolkit, or what does a simple toolkit look like for you specifically?
Two ways of answering it, right? The more general way is to say whatever your chosen techniques are. And remember, this isn't every technique you've ever been interested in. That isn't that rare book that you applied to just a small number of charts. You want to think about what your core approach is. And of course, this also determines, as it were, the level at which you work. So with no judgment, you might pick something really simple like sun, moon or sun, moon, ascendant. That might be the level you like to come in on and open a dialogue with people. So you have prepped sun, moon, ascendant, your thoughts about it. You might choose, as I have frequently advocated for, the lunar nodes as a very good way to get into that personal sense of evolutionary purpose that people have, the moon's nodes, the moon traveling through time, the person evolving through time. It's an elegant, simple, direct technique to get into something. You might choose the big transits that are happening. You know, when the person asks, you know, what can my chart say about the feeling of frustration I've got in my job, and you see the Uranus to midheaven transit, you wonder, is this a new invention of their existing position? Is this them being bold to try something new? It's what you yourself have developed over time. So a separate question emerges for each given astrologer at the level that they're comfortable. And for me, this is a maximum. Let's say you're really just starting out and you're thinking, well, Mark, this is a bit of a paradox. You know, I need road-tested principles to start out with, but I'm just starting out. You know, how can I get that road testing? Well, I would say at the very least, have looked at 10 or 20 or 30 charts, close friends and family, historical charts, have seen trends in the things you're looking at that you can see have some relevancy in terms of meaning in all of those examples, even though it might be stronger in some. Some, it might be the exact thing. For others, though, you want to feel comfortable if it's your core technique, the sun and the moon, the ascendant, whatever it is, the nodes. You want to have felt that you have something to say about every chart you've looked at in your core number of charts as you're beginning road testing. So it doesn't have to be the total aha moment that brings a chart together, but you want to feel you could say something about the sun moon blend in every single one of those charts you look at, because people don't just come to you that have charts that you instantly get. And what you've got to trust there is that the person themselves will often reveal, as they speak to you, aspects that put the final picture together. Remember, in my view, we're not aiming for a complete picture before you come into the session with me and we start the reading. Because the danger of the preformed picture is that I give a reading to a fantasy version of you that I dreamed up from your chart before you came into the space with me. And in my view, we want to avoid that. Because clearly, some very brilliant astrologers have made mistakes in that regard. I mean, I have heard this personally, friends who had, you know, taped or recorded readings or distance readings where they weren't in active communication with the astrologer. And the astrologer has literally misread a question that they wrote them by email, literally misread the meaning of the term, and then spoken for 10 or 15 minutes about something they didn't ask. All of this is correctable in the interactive space. Now, astrologers worry, Tony, in the interactive space, that the reality of the other person will knock them off their prepared, you know, material. But I would argue, if you feel comfortable enough to say, well, Tony, that's a great question. Can I just pause for a moment and look? I just want to animate your chart forward and look at next year when you asked about that, you know, up and coming meeting or that job opportunity or whatever it is. If I feel comfortable enough to manage the space of the reading and be honest with you, I'd like a bit of time to look, or even why don't we take that restroom break we were talking about halfway through? I hope this is useful to you. Have a think about any more questions that you might have, Tony, and I'm just going to look ahead at your chart next year and make sure I'm clear about what's going on in the spring when you asked about that, you know, big work conference. We can totally do that if we feel that we're in touch with an elegant toolkit, because we're not trying to have worked everything out. We're just trying to have a core. We're trying to have, as it were, the branch, not every twig or leaf that comes off the branch. If you've got the trunk and the branches right, you can fill in the rest with the person.
Beautiful. Another thing that you talk about with your students is the idea is to have a simple toolkit, but not that the work is simplistic. So it's simple, but deep. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Let's take an example, an outer planet transit. Let's say someone comes to reading. Pluto's in late Capricorn now. They have Sun at 1 or 2 Aquarius. So they're already in a kind of early prep of a Pluto to Sun transit. It's probably part of the reason on a deeper level why they're having the reading at that point. That's a very simple technical observation, isn't it? Most beginners astrologers on a wheel, if they use the outer planets, can pick out a big Pluto transit. And if you don't use the outer planets, let's take the equivalent of a Saturn transit. Now, what that means to a person and what you're trying to frame for them as the next year or two that this Pluto transit might take place in, that's a completely different thing. That could be incredibly deep. I've worked with people where that's happening recently, where a pattern that may have been there from childhood or in their early development, and now they're in their 60s or even early 70s, and they're suddenly facing the people-pleasing part of them that held them back, and they're taking more adventurous steps, risking connection or expression of themselves in a new way is starting to happen. So the simple observation of something like a major transit to a personal planet like that can occupy a background meaning space in the entire reading. In some sense, then, all of the next hour will include in a background the transformational arc potential of that Pluto to Sun. Because when you're picking out a transit like that, Tony, you're not picking out a static thing, are you? It's an arc, not just because Pluto will go on to the Sun, retrograde off, go back on the Sun, not just symbolized by the actual transit movement, but the actual symbolism of an archetypal deep change that may involve facing, what shall we say, underworld aspects of one's own psyche, things that have been pushed away into the background cavern of one's awareness. And then it becomes about trust with you in the space. And as much as anything, then, it's about the human relationship and the psychological rapport and the degree of human wisdom potential in the space. So the astrology has remained technically quite simple. You can break down for them when the exact hits are, you can break down for them the overall time scale of a transit like that. But the actual meaning is a doorway into depth. And then you can go, depending on who you are, but if you're a person like me, you can go effectively as deep as the person is prepared to go in terms of insight about that. And then the thing I would do is when I feel people effectively stop, they can't go further because they don't really understand the change yet, I can model for them, having worked with so many other people who've also been through a similar Pluto Sun, what certain models of those potential next steps might look like, what it might be to reflect on that, certain books they could read, certain self-reflections. So actually a very simple technical analysis can become a launch pad for extraordinary engagement and depth. I've worked with people where they've come to me for some ongoing consultation simply because of that transit and the discussion about that transit in an initial reading. And then they might touch base with me once a month over the whole time that that transit plays out to keep checking in on the levels of understanding and the process. And people who do that sometimes take extraordinary transformational steps within a year or two. And that can sound like a long time to people, but if we're really talking about the deep patterns in your life, to change them in 18 months or 2 years is actually a very profound and liberating thing. Deep change in the human condition is actually not that easy to achieve, despite what certain coaches on YouTube are trying to tell you, as it were. And I'm nothing against trying to inspire people, but I think we're both old enough to know that really deep change doesn't happen that often.
Right. Thanks for that, Mark. So what might it look like if somebody has overcomplicated their toolkit? How could somebody identify if they've kind of gone a little bit too far in that direction?
One way is to realize when you have that almost Jackson Pollock feeling when you look at a chart. You're putting too much on your wheel. So I would say for those who have specialist interests, asteroids, lots or parts, Arabic parts, or various other things, that you should have a second wheel. You should keep a single wheel really quite clean. Because the Jackson Pollock feeling, the sort of scattershot feeling, William Burroughs, I think, used to do some like shotgun art with a friend of his, you know, Brian Gissin. You know, shotgun art is not what you, that's not the feeling you want when you look at a chart. I always try and break it down into a simple harmonic architecture. I will draw literal lines linking T-squares or pointing arrows towards the hemisphere emphasis. When I used to, you know, have printed charts and develop my own simple toolkit, that's the kind of thing I used to do. Now I do it by eye. So the first thing to recognize is when you are freaking yourself out as a practitioner because you're piling too much into the space, and to trust yourself to break it down. Keep some things in the background. If asteroids are your passion, there's so many of them, have some software, look it up when you're speaking, or just add some points on a second wheel that can be elegantly added back into the original wheel so that you're not overwhelming yourself, because the human mind can only cope with so much complexity in any given moment. It's like those studies, optimal educational studies. Class length goes too much beyond 75 minutes. No one's taking anything in anymore. You know, that's why I have my reading at a certain set time, because it's diminishing returns past a certain point in terms of complexity and depth. Well, it's the same with the sheer amount of linear information. It's a Mercury. It's taking Mercury Gemini and making sure Mercury Virgo, you discriminate cleanly about the data you're giving yourself. So that's one step. The other thing is to recognize that certain specialized techniques over the career, a longer career of an astrologer, say 20, 30, 40 years, you're going to have studied different things at different times. And it's to recognize that, you know, maybe one client is basically asking you to go back to the perspective you had in an earlier book, or, you know, to revisit some of your territory and use that. Don't be afraid to move around within your own oeuvre, as it were. You know, don't just be about the next big thing, because the danger then is you start to tilt a reading to what you're researching, and you effectively swamp the individual's experience with the area of astrology you're currently fixated on. So we need to be flexible, especially if we've got lots of experience, which part of our experience we're drawing on, and making sure it's useful for the person, not just something we like to say. Because that's a big issue with astrology, when we have studied it for so long and we've tried to surf the waves of all that complexity. Of course, we want to share what we learned from our masterful surfing, but that's not always the most relevant or useful thing for that person. So I think that's an issue to pay attention to. And then the other thing is, and I would encourage astrologers to pay more attention to this kind of phenomena, degrees of anxiety prior to readings. It's not something professionals talk about very often. Professionals try and pretend like everything's a breeze. Well, here I am, the great Mark Jones, you know, here for another day or here for a lecture. Of course, we all face certain thoughts and feelings before doing that. And astrologers can often find, even relatively experienced ones, readings stressful, that they're stressful. And for me, this is partly linked to an over-psychological need to have completely mastered something or present a finished article, some aspect of what I call the magician's complex. Whereas if you've trusted a dialogue process, if you've trusted that together you and I are going to do this reading, I'm going to bring the astrology because that's my professional role and that's my training and expertise, but together we're going to work out what it means because it's your life. You remove that performative pressure, and then it's much easier to gain the degree of spaciousness individually to make decisions about which kind of information to present and how elegantly you can present it. So it's a combination of accurate pre-preparation around the simple toolkit. Then you know you've always got your solid ground, the stuff that's proven itself time and time again. You trust yourself to pause the reading if necessary, if they ask a question that really does require you to look at something. It could only be a few minutes, but who's not going to allow you to do that if it's important to them, to actually take the time to prepare and not just say something for the sake of it because you feel befuddled or that you have to impress this person? What if we just put down all this need to prove astrology, impress people, you know, come out of the shadows, these fringe weirdo astrologers? What if we just trusted that people were sincere? They really want our help and advice, and therefore they're on our side, and they are our most useful ally in the process. And then the other thing you can do as part of that is literally share a couple of options. Well, one technique looks at this. Would that be the most useful way to break it down for you? But another way of looking at it is this, maybe, and you can literally begin to fit your toolkit to the needs of the job. And of course, every plumber in your city, every electrician would do that. You don't show up to tile a bathroom, do you, with a preset box of tiles and you're just going to plaster it over every wall. You're going to ask people what they want. And I think this is a key component that we don't pay enough attention to in the world of astrology, because it's such a highly specialized field of knowledge and there is a lot of background work you have to do to be good at it. We're thinking we should just, you know, rock up and share this wondrous vision, kind of bring the tablets down from the mountaintop. I don't think we have to model it in that way at all. You know, even doctors, you know, MDs or consultants, the priests of the modern hierarchy, don't diagnose people without tests, without talking to them, without saying, does it hurt here when I press here? Even the great trained medical priests of our time dialogue with people about the information. Some would say not enough, but yeah, but I think we've got our own issues with that as astrologers, because we've overly pressured ourselves with this impossible task. And if you step down the task to a more realistic domain and you trust the person you're with, I don't mean trust like in the way you would your best friend or your partner. I mean, in a way that you're prepared to establish trust with them because of the common goal, a meaningful reading for them.
Thanks for that, Mark. I think that's a great thought to end on. The desire, intention to participate or create or construct a meaningful reading. So thank you for that.
You know, Tony, it doesn't have to be rocket science astrology, does it? There are some complex techniques that require, you know, complex analysis over time. But much of it is a situation where a person who doesn't know very much about it at all comes to you, a person who knows a great deal about it, with a sincere question about themselves and their own development. And even explaining a simple transit, even explaining the fact that in the hemisphere emphasis of their chart, you know, everything is in the eastern quadrant and independence, or everything is in the western quadrant and relationship, is valuable to people. I've had people have aha moments just when I explain to them what the different sections of a chart mean, and then I show them their chart shape. Because they're just looking in part for that intuitive sense that the different ways their life falls into place through their natural predilections is meaningful in some way. Is it in accord with their purpose for being here at whatever level they rationalize that at? So it's enormously validating astrology on that level. So it's an enormously validating tool, isn't it? That you could see patterns in this abstract symbology that correspond with the choices they've made in their life. People find that so validating and fulfilling.
Right. And for that, you don't necessarily need a very complicated toolkit. Well, thanks for sharing all this with us today, Mark. There are so many great tips and tidbits and food for thought here. And if you've been struggling with your astrological toolkit, and one of the hallmarks of that is just that feeling of overwhelm. You know, if you look at the chart and you're like, I don't even know where to start, that's a sign that you might need to dial back your toolkit a little bit. I hope that this talk has given you something to reflect on that'll help you as you try to maybe unclutter or declutter or uncomplicate your toolkit. Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Mark. I appreciate you.
Such a pleasure. Always a pleasure, Tony. And just as a final shout out to those, if you do stumble across a complex technique, don't be afraid to use it. Just prep it. Prep it so it can be used in the same elegant way. But don't prep it so much that you feel you have to share it with that person, whether they wanted to hear it or not. I think that's the great thing we learn. When we do more and more chart readings, you realize it actually matters what the other person gets from it. And not everything you have learned in astrology is actually relevant to them necessarily. And it maybe we should a choice. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. Just finish that thought.
Well, just it becomes a choice together based on not just talking to the person, but the feeling in the space. You know, you start to get a feel then for the different things you've learned and perspectives, what's going to hit home for a person, what's going to be useful in the place you almost feel them to be in at that point. Yeah.
Beautiful. That could be a jumping off point for our next conversation, knowing when to let go of that thing that you've prepared and you're so proud of that insight that you wanted to share, and it just doesn't seem like the right time to share it. That's another great conversation. Well, thanks for joining us today, Mark. And friends, if you've enjoyed this conversation and you want to learn more with Mark, Mark does masterclass retreats in Wales once a year. Can you tell folks a little bit about what you do in those retreats and what that experience is like, Mark?
Yes, it's a limited number. It's in an annex space next to my house, the house next to my house with my writing desk and my astrological library in. And each experience is unique. So the one we did this year very much focused on timing and transformation and what sees a person come to that point in their life where they have the insight around what they wish to do or how their life is shaped. And we looked at the astrological timing of those events. The next one is more this focus on the story of the archetypes themselves, the 12 signs, and the way it maps a philosophical healing journey, psychological journey of being alive. Because astrology on one level is a teaching tool or a learning tool for just how deep human life can be. You know, human life can go all the way from Aries through to Pisces in this evolving journey. And we'll be looking at that evolving journey, and I'll be adding certain process spaces, contemplative spaces for people, because although Turning Points was amazing, it was a highly technical one. And the recordings have just been made available. And a few people have already written to me thanking me so much for that, because it was highly technical material, how to look at charts and timing and life and cycles broken down into these lovely visuals, because all of these are being recorded and edited so that people can see the slides as I teach live, as if those slides were on their computer screen. But the thing that something like Turning Points misses, that technical analysis, is the time and room for the students present to breathe. Although some did share to me how inner processes happened anyway, even without being directly referred to. The chance with the 12 Steps to Healing vision is that we're going to focus on some of that process consciously, that astrology itself can be an inspirational tool. You know, understanding Scorpio can teach you something about the initiatory depth of the human heart. Learning about Sagittarius can inspire you about the actual vision of meaning in this cosmos. You know, we can allow astrology to become a window through to our deepest soul aspirations for why we're here. And I think, if we're honest, that's why many of us were attracted to astrology, because it's this complete kind of cosmic symbolism that's so inviting to live a richer life. So I'll be exploring that very directly. And of course, it's this intimate chance to hang out. We have a day trip. You know, I was, to be honest with you, Tony, I was thinking the day trip, you know, the buses, the coaches, where to go. Is this more important compared to the teachings? And then we had that day trip, and the difference of being together was just so profound. The sense of forming a group, the sense of just being together out in this beautiful castle overlooking the river. It's just so lovely to be in a space with real humans who are dedicated to similar pursuits and interests. So we will always be preserving that, because it's just such a kind of special thing. So yeah, it's a joy to teach them, and it connects me with why I find astrology so inspirational and frankly uplifting.
Great. Thanks for that, Mark. Well, thanks for joining us today, friends. And until next time, take good care. Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. I'm the founder, Tony Howard. Head over to astrologyuniversity.com, where you can find webinars and courses to help deepen your study of astrology. Study with some of the best astrologers in the field, and check out our diploma program for those of you interested in working professionally or in developing the skill to analyze charts for yourself, your friends, and family. Hope to see you in class soon, and until then, take good care.